Good morning, everyone. happy Sunday, the last Sunday in June, which is very hard to believe, but summer is flying by as it always does. Welcome to our weekly gathering. It's really, really wonderful to come and see you all here this morning. I just finished a contemplation time myself, so I'm pretty inspired in spirit right now, and I'm very, very happy to join with you from this state of inspiration. we're going to start by welcoming one another, and of course I have a song that I traditionally play during this time. It's We Are Awakening, so let me cue the music, and then everyone, please take time to say hello to one another on the board. Here we go.
We are awakening to the call of the optimistic awakening. In the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
to say hello. I'd like to now share a statement of purpose regarding awakening together. And today I'm going to be sharing with you from our websites, from a page called Paths of Awakening. It's underneath our About Us menu. Awakening together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. In our study of scripture and masters, we contemplate that which is the same and respect that which appears different. Some of the spiritual works and masters that may be studied by our ministers, members, and friends include, but are not limited to, the Bhagavad Gita, which lately we've seen a lot of daily thoughts from the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, Gautama Buddha, Rumi, and we can include all of the Sufi mystics, Kabbalah, Christian mystics, A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, Peace Pilgrim, Jiddu Krishnamurti, H.W.L. Punja, Adyashanti, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and more. Although teachers and scripture are helpful as we awaken to universal truth, absolute clarity always arises within one's self. For that reason, we encourage the unique expression of wisdom as it comes through our ministers, members, and friends. Everyone has the opportunity to express wisdom in our online sanctuary. We celebrate each person's expression of wisdom, just as we honor wisdom expressed through renowned masters and scripture. There is only one source of universal wisdom. Whenever anyone writes, speaks, or acts from universal wisdom, that one abides as our true self. And now it is time for announcements. And I'm actually going to begin announcements today by reading to you from a book by Adyashanti. This is his most recent book. It's called Resurrecting Jesus. I think maybe some of you are reading it. I think maybe I've even heard it read here in the sanctuary a little bit. So I am reading from pages 112 and 113. Again, this is Adyashanti. First, he is quoting a scripture from the New Testament, from Mark 4:30, and I think it's 30-31, Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. And the scripture begins with, "Again he said," here the he, of course, is Jesus. "Again he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade.'" And then Adyashanti goes on with an interpretation of this scripture. And it's really the interpretation of the scripture that I want to focus on as a part of our announcements today. So this is now Adyashanti's interpretation. He refers to Jesus' teaching. He's referring to Jesus setting and teaching through parables with the disciples. And he's really talking about the most important thing that was going on between Jesus and the disciples was what he calls a transmission. So Adyashanti is speaking about this transmission between Jesus and the disciples. In a more esoteric sense, transmission is literally a type of resonance or awakened field of consciousness present within a spiritual master that can help activate spiritual awakening within another. Because Jesus is enlightened, because he is established in the kingdom of heaven, his consciousness carries the resonant field of the kingdom and can awaken it in those around him if they are open to him in a very deep way. In esoteric spirituality, meaning those inner forms of spirituality concerned with awakening, transformation, and enlightenment, transmission plays a significant role. It's not something constrained by words or explanations, and it's not quite an energetic transmission either. It's a field of consciousness. Ultimately, Jesus's mere presence is his greatest teaching tool. To make this a little clearer, imagine you walk in a room and there's one person in the room just sitting in a chair and staring at the wall, deeply depressed. Now, just imagine if you were to walk through the door and then stop and just feel the presence of that room. If you were sensitive, you would literally feel the dark, heavy energy of the person in that room. You would feel their depression. That, too, is a kind of transmission. So transmission isn't necessarily as obscure as it might sound. It's really our capacity to feel, in some regard, what another is feeling. It is to partake of their state of consciousness. When someone is happy, their consciousness is bright, vital, and alive. And you can feel that brightness and vitality because their consciousness is literally activating the brightness and joyful aspect of your own consciousness. Between a spiritual teacher and his or her student, transmission is the teacher's state of consciousness interacting with the consciousness of the student or the disciple. The reason I read that is because that idea, which Adyashanti is calling transmission, that idea that being with someone who has a high state of spiritual achievement or a high state of spiritual realization can help to uplift oneself if we're open to it. That is really the idea behind the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat, which is coming up in September, September 12 to 14 in Santa Barbara, California. We've invited two teachers and a musician. The two teachers we've invited, which you're probably aware of, are Timothy Conway and Magdi. And in fact, Timothy Conway was here in the sanctuary in April, and we did an online satsang with him then. And Magdi was here in the sanctuary in May, and we did an online satsang with him. And you can hear those satsangs by going to our website under Featured Talks. We also have invited a musician, that's Kirtana. She will be here for the third Sunday in July for our July satsang. But the real reason that we've invited them for the Awakening Together satsang is literally to be in the presence of that higher state of consciousness. You know, there's a lot to be said for intellectually studying scripture or masters. We get a lot out of intellectual study and discussion. That's certainly how I started. And of course, there's a lot more to say for deeply contemplating within ourself, spiritual masters and scripture. But as Adyashanti is saying, there is also something to be said for being in the presence of someone who is already self-realized. It can literally lift us up. A shift can occur that has absolutely nothing to do with their teachings, although their teachings may be helpful. And so, I invite everyone to come to the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat, September 12 to 14 in Santa Barbara, California. It's also a beautiful place. It's called the Old Mission, but it's literally a mission, an open mission. Right now, there are Franciscan monks that live there. So it is a place where a lot of contemplation happens all the time. It's a beautiful location for a transmission to occur. And again, remember, the transmission is nothing magical, as Adyashanti explains it. It's actually extremely natural. It's realizing within ourself something that's already there, but being in the energy of it with someone else who is already aware of it, it helps to ignite that awareness within ourselves. It's not a magical transmission from the master to the student. But it is a very real effect. Also, following that particular satsang, there will be a Soak in the Beauty retreat at the very same location, September 14 to 18. The purpose of the Soak in the Beauty retreat is to take some time after the weekend with Timothy and Magdi to really contemplate and soak that in. It's called the Soak in the Beauty retreat for two reasons. One, it's soaking in the beauty of whatever shifts may have occurred with you over the weekend. But also, we are going to be visiting places of beauty in the Santa Barbara area, walking, talking. We'll be spending mornings in silence, evenings in discussion. Nikki Dobson will be there along with me. We will be your hostesses for this event. But Timothy Conway is also going to join us again for an additional evening satsang. So two retreats side by side. You can fly once and come to both. You can have a private room or a shared room as you prefer. And there'll be a lot more information coming out in the near future because we're getting closer and closer to that date. So I'll be publishing information about the best way to travel there, more and more information about the retreat. So in order to receive that information, if you're registered, you'll receive that information. But if you're not yet registered and you will be registering later, or you're considering registering, that information will also go out through our daily updates. So if you're subscribed to our daily updates, you will receive the additional information about the retreat. If you're not subscribed, you may want to subscribe so you don't miss that information. Of course, once you register, you will be fully informed of all of that information. So if you register, don't worry, you won't miss a thing. And that concludes our announcements for today. And now the next song I'm going to play, you know, this is just our opening song. It is a Kirtana song. And remember, Kirtana is going to be the musician at our Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. But the reason I selected this song is because it is called Flow of Grace. Now, Kirtana's teacher is Gangaji. And so if you listen to this song very carefully, in the first part of the song, she's talking about the flow of grace, you know, that is really, what's the word for it? Formless, completely formless. All grace really is formless, but I'll just say formless. And then in the second part of the song, she's talking about the flow of grace that she experiences in the presence of her teacher, Gangaji. And in fact, she refers to her teacher in the song as the River Ganga. So you'll hear her talk about that flow of grace she experiences, or that transmission she experiences with her teacher. So why don't we listen to Kirtana, Flow of Grace.
Feelings, states of consciousness, and circumstances change. Everything that comes to be will go and leave no trace. All things shall pass, all things alas, but this unbroken flow of grace. May this flow forever be. Like a river from the sea, may I not try to own or reject it, postpone or redirect it. Just let it be. Shall be heard.
That this flow of grace that she senses from her teacher, Gangaji, is actually not at all separate from her, that state of mind, that consciousness. let's see, David says, can I pay for a shared room even though I'm going to both retreats alone? Yes, that just means that I would put somebody else in the room with you, David, like I did when you came to the Choose Again retreat. Remember, I put another David in the room with you. I would do the same thing. In fact, I have someone coming from Germany, a male, who wants a shared room. So I would probably put you in with him. So yeah, absolutely. You don't have to have a friend to have a shared room. If the lower price just benefits you, sure, you just sign up for a shared room and I'll match you with a same-sex individual. Thanks for asking the question, David. All right. It's time for our invocation, but today what I would like to do is just a moment of pure silence. So why don't we be still? Amen. All right, it is time for our inspirational reading for the day. And today, Jacqueline Eckert, who happens to be the vice president of Awakening Together, she's going to be our reader. She will be reading from the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI. And she is going to read the very last book that precedes Revelation. It's a very, very short book called NTI Jude. So, Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. How's my sound level? Is that okay? Hi. Okay, very good. NTI Jude, you are not alone. It is time that we talk more about what you are, that you may experience mercy, peace, and love in abundance through your understanding and your choice. Your mind is one mind. Our mind is one mind. There are no minds that are separate and alone from other minds. This is why there is no suffering, because there are no minds that are alone. There is one mind, and this one mind is fully and completely yours. All of the horror that you witness and believe in is in your one mind. This is why it is not truly suffering. It is not one mind doing unto another mind. That would be suffering. But it is one mind choosing unto itself. And so, it is only the illusion of suffering, even though it may seem to you to be real. The one mind is not fully aware of itself, and this is where the illusion of attack and suffering comes in. But the one mind is itself, and this is why suffering and attack are illusion. I have come to help you remove your faith from the illusion, which you have believed in until now, and place it firmly with the one mind, which is not separate. With your faith placed in the one mind, you can look at the one mind, see the beliefs that have been accepted there, and then choose to use the one mind to peacefully see in another way. The mind has no victims, and it has no evildoers within it. There are no separate parts within the mind that run amok, separate from the mind that is you. The belief in separation is not partially true, so that your power is somewhat or partially limited. The belief in separation is wholly mistaken, so that the power of your mind is all that is wholly true. To look at the world and place blame out there is to make the error of not believing that you are what you are. And yet this error can only be illusion, for you are what you are, and what you are is wholly true. Whenever you choose to hate another, you choose to deny yourself. This is a choice you have made because you have wanted to deny yourself. You have decided to deny yourself because you have chosen to place judgments and hatred on your name. But what you must see is that you have made this choice, and so, just as you have chosen to see yourself one way, you can make the choice to see yourself differently. I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself with me. Remember what I have told you. Our one mind is in a state of awakening. Choose to stand within the awakened state with me, and choose to arouse our mind to awakefulness. Follow within our one true desire. Let it lead you in all things and in all ways that you choose to see. Do not be swayed from the true desire, and in all circumstances, return quickly to it. In this way, you choose to join hands with me. In this way, we rouse our mind to a state of awakefulness and to a state of glee. Do not listen to whispers of confusion, which you know because they are whispers that confuse you. Stay clear that we are one mind awakening fully. Stay clear that you are awakening with me. Stand firm for this one purpose. Do not delay among the lingering of dreams. You are not alone. We are one mind joined together in awakening. When you feel that you are weak, lean in faith on my strength. My strength is one with your strength, so by leaning on me, the illusion of weakness is erased. Amen.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. Someone's asking about your accent. I think it's Kentucky, isn't that correct? Texas or Oklahoma, they are asking. Yes, Kentucky. Yeah, and thank you very much for reading Jude. It's such a small book that, you know, sometimes these teeny tiny books get overlooked. You know, I hear people in the sanctuary, of course, sharing from Luke and sharing from Acts and, you know, sharing from some of the other big books. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone sharing from Jude, unless that happened to be the reading of the day when we do the daily reading. But there is so much in this particular book. You know, really, we could spend a lot of time just talking about and contemplating what's in the book of Jude. We could probably do a month-long course on these two pages of text. Of course, I don't have a month right now, so I will wrap it up in a shorter way. But one thing that really jumps out at me, and it jumped out at me when I was the scribe of this, and one reason it jumped out at me when I was the scribe of this is because I did not believe it. One thing you want to remember about NTI is I did not write NTI from my knowledge of spirituality. I wrote NTI as the student, and it was the inner wisdom teaching me. And I was often not yet in acceptance or belief or realization of the teachings as they were coming. And one thing that came in Jude, I absolutely did not believe, and it was one of those things that was very difficult to write down because it seemed like an untrue fantasy rather than spiritual truth. And that is this. The mind has no victims, and it has no evildoers within it. There are no separate parts within the mind that run amok, separate from the mind that is you. I did not believe that. And in fact, at this particular time when I was writing NTI, there was one particular personality out there in the world that I perceived as evil. I perceived as I called him the great betrayer. I perceived him as betraying a lot of people. And it was very difficult for me to accept that there was no victims, because I thought there were a whole lot of people that were victim to him. It was very difficult for me to accept there were no evildoers, because I really did perceive him as an evildoer. It was very difficult for me to accept that the mind, that there was no part of the wholeness that had run amok, because I thought he had run amok. And there was a lot of resistance in writing this down. And I felt that with a particular personality. But I know other people feel that with maybe other personalities or with different situations. You know, sometimes when I am out teaching, when I'm traveling and teaching like I was in the last couple of weeks, and I talk to a lot of different people, you know, some of the most common things that I hear that people really have difficulty accepting are things like people who abuse animals. You know, it's very difficult when you see little animals, little puppies being abused by someone, to believe that there are no victims and no evildoers. Or when you see or hear about children that are, you know, sexually abused, to believe that there are no victims and there are no evildoers. There's a song I'm going to play for you later. It's going to be during our contemplation period after this teaching. It's another Kirtana song that I just discovered this Wednesday. And the name of the song is Happy Birthday, Jesus. But I discovered this song on YouTube. And the images that were with the YouTube video that I originally found were difficult to look at, because they were images of what people do to each other. Torture and abuse. A lot of blood, death from war, young bodies that were dead. And she's singing this song, Happy Birthday, Jesus, where these images are playing. Now, Kirtana didn't put this video together. Someone else did. But as I really contemplated this video, at first, to be honest, I didn't even want to look at it. I heard the song, and I thought the song was so beautiful. And then to look at that beautiful song with these horrific images created a conflict in me. And in fact, I didn't even post that on my Facebook page. I was still conflicted in that moment. I found another copy of the song with beautiful images. And I posted that on my Facebook page. But then something in me said, you know, go back and watch the first video. Go back. So I went back and I listened very carefully to the song that Kirtana was singing as I watched these very, very violent images. And it really brought up for me what Jude is talking about here. The mind has no victims, and it has no evildoers within it. There are no separate parts within the mind that run amok, separate from the mind that is you. The belief in separation is not partially true, so that your power is somewhat or partially limited. The belief in separation is wholly mistaken, so that the power of your mind is all that is wholly true. So what does that mean for me then? When I'm looking at these images, I mean, I saw images in this video that this mind had never, ever, ever even imagined. There was one woman, a Muslim woman, and maybe she had committed a sexual crime or something, what they consider a sexual crime. You know how they are in some of these Muslim countries. Because she was buried in sand all the way up to her neck, and her face was beaten bloody. You know, in my personal imagination, I had never even imagined such a scene. And so to look at such a scene and to hear that I am partially, no, it doesn't say partially, wholly responsible for those types of scenes. It's not the kind of thing that we want to accept. But when I do accept it, there is a shift that occurs in my mind. And it's a wonderful, wonderful shift. The shift that occurs in my mind when I accept that I am wholly responsible is that I want only beauty in my mind. I want only love in my mind. I don't want judgment in my mind at all. And that is a magnificent shift. You know, because when I was judging this one personality that I was judging during the time that I was writing the book of Jude, I actually felt righteous in my judgment of him. Righteous means I felt right. I am right about this. I'm not picking on anyone particular, by the way. I know someone in the room knows we've been talking about that being right. But this is how I felt. So I'm not picking on you. I felt right in judging him. Yeah, everybody's laughing, those who know. I felt right in judging him, righteous. And you know, we all feel right about judging some things. You know, in the book of Galatians in NTI, Jesus says, we all feel right about judging some things, and this is where we all make a mistake. When we feel right about judging something, what we don't understand is the judgment that is in our mind at that moment, that judgment is a part of what creates the exact appearances that we judge. In other words, we are party to the experience. We are literally making the appearances through our judgment. It feels a little bit like a trap sometimes in the beginning. Because as I'm judging the one that I really think is wrong, the great betrayer, you know, victimizing a lot of people, the energy, think of it as energy. You know, one thing that I've been studying for the last probably 6 weeks is I've been studying Kabbalah. And, you know, one thing the Kabbalists talk about, which for A Course in Miracles student, you may have to shift your head sideways a little bit because it's not the language you're used to. But one thing the Kabbalists talk about is with every thought, every word, and every action, we create either angels or demons. With every thought, with every word, and with every action, we create either angels or demons. Now, an angel and a demon are really more like, they call it energy bundles. And an angel is defined in Kabbalah as something that brings you closer to God or self-realization. And a demon is something that brings you further from it. You know, something we could say that brings you deeper into illusion. And that's a wonderful, wonderful symbol, even though, again, when I first read it, I wasn't in love with it. But as I contemplated it deeper, it's a wonderful, wonderful symbol. And it actually simplifies things in such an incredible way. If I just ask myself, is this making an angel or a demon? without getting too literal about it. We don't want to get self-judgment involved in that if I'm making a demon. But let me give you an example. The one that I was judging as the great betrayer, creating many, many victims in the world through his lies. When I am judging that one, or when I was judging that one, if I would look in that moment and say, am I, through my thoughts right now, creating an angel or a demon, knowing that an angel is something that brings me closer to self-realization, and a demon is something that takes me further from self-realization, right? It takes me deeper into illusion. At least for me, it doesn't take much discernment to see that as I'm judging the one I call the great betrayer, I am actually making a demon. I am taking myself further from self-realization, further into the idea of separation. In fact, I can really strongly feel that energy of me, the innocent one, who would never do that, and him, the evil one, who is doing it, right? Big, strong sense of separation. I know I'm taking myself further into separation, further into illusion, further away from God realization. So, you know, the teaching is very, very simple. And the teaching shows up in so many religions and spiritualities. And it's certainly clear in the main spirituality that people study in this room, the Course in Miracles. And yet, how many of us truly practice it? How many of us are careful whenever those thoughts of judgment show up, whenever there's someone out there or something out there that looks bad, that we want to blame, that we feel righteous in judging? How many of us stop, truly stop, pause, and ask, is this what I want to make or create, the energy I want to send out into the world? Do I want to be a part of this experience? Or do I want to step back and be still? In fact, people may ask, how do you let go of judging someone who's, you know, abusing little puppies or little children? Or the people who buried that woman in the sand and then beat her face black and blue and bloody? How can you not judge that? The answer is understanding the metaphysics. The answer is asking the self, do I want to make these images? Do I want to make these scenarios? What do I want to make with my creative mind? And then, I never ever try to create the opposite. And I could talk about that on another day. That really gets into the Taoist study. But I never try to create the opposite. So I would not in my mind say, no, I don't want to create bad guys, I want to create good guys, and start imagining good guys. Because actually, because of the law of duality, as you imagine and create the good guys, you're actually still creating the bad guys. So that's not the answer. The answer is to drop into stillness. You know, the Course says, I need do nothing. The answer is to drop into just being, stillness, resting the mind. Remember, you've heard rest, accept, and trust. Not imagine the good, right? It's rest, accept, and trust. In fact, I just recently saw somewhere, something I was reading, some master was talking about resting. I can't pull it back up right now then, so I'll let it go. But use that exact word, rest. I think it was Ramana Maharshi. In fact, I think Michael Langford sent it out. I think it's in my email, and I think it was Ramana Maharshi. I will post it on my Facebook page after we finish here. But Ramana Maharshi was recommending rest. Do nothing. Be still. Just be. And in fact, if you want to practice that, you could practice that with the Kirtana video. You can go look it up on YouTube. Kirtana is K-I-R-T-A-N-A. And the name of the video is Happy Birthday, Jesus. And again, you'll find two that will come up, but the one with the most hits is the one with the violent images. You could literally practice by watching that video. You know, and as your mind comes up and wants to say, oh my God, that's horrible, that should not happen, you want to watch your mind do that. And then you want to move into resting, being still, just being. You see, this is the practice that heals. I need do nothing. That is the practice that heals. You know, another thing that Jacqueline read when we were reading NTI Jude She read something that's italicized in the middle of the page. Of course, this is Holy Spirit speaking. I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself with me. Well, what is our true self? In the Bible, when Moses asked God through the burning bush, you know, what is your name? Who shall I tell them? Who shall I tell them has sent me? God, which is the representation of our true self, answers, I am that I am. Here in Jude, Holy Spirit says, I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself with me. I am that I am. What does that mean? And of course, there is a popular movie out now where a comma has been added to that. And the comma says, I am that. Like, I am that tree. I am. I am that. I am that dog. I am. I am that. I am that glass of water. I am. And there's a truth to that. But when I was given I am that I am as a mantra, there was no comma in it. So I recommend taking the comma back out again. And contemplate I am that I am with no comma. What does that mean? What does that say? Yeah, I am. No object. Beingness, awareness, isness. If you're beingness, awareness, or isness, what are you doing? Nothing. You're being, you're awaring, you're ising, right? That's what heals. Being ourself, capital S self, abiding as ourself, just being. That's what heals. It's not imagining the good. That's actually swings the pendulum. Again, I'll talk about that another day. I'll do Taoism next time I come and teach for an Awakening Together gathering so that I can complete this discussion. But when you imagine the good, yeah, it's still imagining, and it's still in the form of duality. Neutral. No creation of karma. Exactly. I see I'm preaching to the choir here, and that really excites me. And it's okay if we all already know this. It's okay to say it again. Because probably most of us, if not all of us, are not remembering this all of the time, right? And so we need to continue to repeat these teachings to ourselves. We need to continue to bring these teachings into our heart. And we need to more and more become these teachings, right? The beingness, no blame, no righteous judging. There's no such thing. No affirmations of the good. Being, ising, awaring. And in fact, I told you I'm going to play the Kirtana song, Happy Birthday Jesus, when we finish this right here. I'll play the Kirtana song, and you can listen to that. But I do recommend going and searching on YouTube and watching the video, too. But I will play the song, Happy Birthday Jesus. And you will hear her say, we have not yet learned. But at the very end of this hour and 15 minutes, I'm going to play another song. And the other song that I'm going to play is by an artist called Sky in the Road. And the song is titled A Prayer Beyond. And it is one of my very, very, very favorite songs. In this song, there's a soldier that's going to war. And when he sees the war, when he, you know, I spies the violence, he drops to his knees. And he says a prayer. Now this prayer, I think, is a perfect prayer for us to say whenever we are tempted to judge or blame. And in fact, I will read it very, very slowly, so if you want to write the prayer down, you can. In fact, I'll read it twice very slowly. So if you want to grab a pen or if you, you know, start typing on the keyboard, go ahead and open Word or something. Because I think many of you will love this prayer as well. I don't think it's personal. This is impersonal. It's something that our heart loves. So this is the prayer that you will hear in that last song, the prayer that the soldier prays when he spies the war, when he sees the war. I am truth beyond reason. I am knowing beyond thought. I am grace beyond effort. I am strength beyond force. I am love beyond all expectations. I am peace beyond time. I am love in motion. I am life divine. To me, if every time I am tempted to judge, tempted to blame, if I stop and say this prayer, get into the spirit of this prayer, it helps me to just be, and let judgments pass over me, just pass right on by, let anger pass right on by, the sense of injustice pass right on by, just be, while all of that energy passes right on by. And that's healing. As promised, I'll read the poem, I'll read the prayer again, this time a little more quickly, just so you can check your work. I am truth beyond reason. I am knowing beyond thought. I am grace beyond effort. I am strength beyond force. I am love beyond all expectations. I am peace beyond time. I am love in motion. I am life divine. So again, Holy Spirit says in NTI Jude, I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself. I am that I am. With me. Remember what I have told you. Our one mind is in a state of awakening. Choose to stand within the awakened state with me. Choose to stand within the awakened state with me. Or like that soldier, choose to drop to one knee and be in the awakened state with me. And you choose to arouse our mind to awakefulness, doing nothing, just being. That is healing. One more time. I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself with me. Remember what I have told you. Our one mind is in a state of awakening. Choose to stand within the awakened state with me. And you choose to arouse our mind to awake fullness. So now it's time for our contemplation of today's reading and teaching. As promised, I'm going to play the Cortana song that I discovered this week, Happy Birthday, Jesus. Also, this is a time when, if you're interested, you can make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will post the link in the room. It does cost us, believe it or not, about $110,000 a year right now to run this organization. So your donations are greatly appreciated. And here's the song, Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Jesus, lives and lives that passed, since we saw you last, at Gethsemane, that you are in our hearts and minds this silent night, as we light and light and hope of light to be. We shun the love we offer with your outstretched hand, but we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Even so, night, all is not calm, all is not bright, we still have the hungry, we have the poor, and we haven't found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. If peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bond of pain. Have not ceased since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name. Could you please send another star? We could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. If we'd know you, if you came again, and you walked and trod among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me, so I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday, may we live as one. May peace take root inside us, may your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light a light in hope of light to come.
love this week, and that's what I fell in love with that song. All right, so this is the part of the program then when we open up to everyone sharing based on the contemplation we just had, the teaching, the reading. We have about 9 minutes. So who would like to share? I'm trying to keep my eyes open so that if you raise your hand, I'll see, but there's a strong pull to close my eyes and just rest, just be. All right. You know, Starman Real World, I don't know who you are, although I enjoyed your comments. I'm lost as to what name goes with that handle, that nickname. So if you would start by telling me, Robbie. Oh, it's Robbie, of course. Okay, Robbie, the mic is yours.
Aloha. Thank you, Regina. Yeah, that I am is often misunderstood by people putting that comma in. Very good point. Thank you for reminding me. Because that's a little lower vibration, or I feel kind of a misinterpretation of just pure beingness or I amness. Ising, as you said, I love it. You just put an ing on it and turn it into just pure beingness. And the ing or the ness makes it a verb or a function rather than just being stuck in some kind of a form of some kind. And that's what the human mind tries to do, that bring it down to some kind of form. But I like the word you use, formless, and Eckhart Tolle calls it the unmanifest. I really like those words. They just resonate with me. To be in space and not to be attached to labels and all that. But I really appreciate you sharing that this morning, and it did remind me, as you said, it would remind us, and you're not just preaching to the choir, Regina. So I want to thank you and of course everyone that's in here. And that's all I had to say. I'll pass the mic on. Aloha.
Aloha, Robbie. Thank you very much for sharing that. And I'm very grateful that you are taking my teaching slot tonight. I took about a month off from Sunday nights for various reasons. I appreciate you filling in for me tonight. Christina, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I just want to say thank you. Ooh, I get a little emotional. I just moved here to Vero and everything's like been, you know, divinely synchronicity. Dove, Lynn, Regina, thank you for being an angel of God. Thank you for your, how can I say? This is from my heart, so I get emotional. Thank you for being the channel for our Creator. And I just want to say I love you and love all of you. And I'm just very, very grateful today. And so I'm so glad that I found this place and just being here just for today. And once again, I want to thank you to all of you. And again, Regina, thank you for being our channel. May God bless you and each and every one of us. That's all.
Thank you, Christina. The tone in your voice spoke my heart completely. I was completely resonating with you. In fact, you know, before Robbie spoke, you heard me say, I'm trying to keep my eyes open so I can see if you raise your hands. but really I just want to deeply close my eyes and just sit in the heart, be in the heart, because that gratitude and that devotion is also what I am feeling now. So thank you very much for expressing it for me. I appreciate that. It was a joy to hear it in your voice. So there's approximately 4 minutes left of the sharing period. Ah, and Lynn's hand is up. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Regina, and thank you, everyone, for being here today. I just wanted to say that I am so grateful. Hey, Sonia. Sonia is going to be one of our new admins. Yay. And Sue Chan is one of our new admins. We've got a whole group of people that are so willing to help, and it's so wonderful. I just wanted to say how grateful I am for being able to be a part of this and to see it grow and be so beautiful and to make these connections with all of these wonderful people, brothers all over the world. And I'm just overwhelmed by gratitude. Thank you, Regina, for listening to the Holy Spirit. And thank everyone for listening to the Holy Spirit and choosing to join with us. And I see that Jacqueline and Dolores both have their hands up. Please do not worry about the time, because I'm on next, and you can take as much as you want. And so thank you all very much. I love you all.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. I appreciate you saying don't worry about the time. However, I wasn't going to, because I already know your heart. I know that it was okay. I know you would rather have whatever is blossoming here to continue to blossom. I share your gratitude as well, and thank you for expressing it. And Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Regina. good morning again, everybody. I'm very moved by what you've had to say this morning, and what I wanted to share was that that I have been seeing these thoughts in my mind, particularly as we go through with the ministerial program and the judgments. And I know that I don't want the judgments. And, you know, well, if, you know, and as some of you may know, I'm at home with family and staying with this one and that one. And, you know, and the thoughts are, well, you know, in my house, I wouldn't do it this way, or, you know, I wouldn't discuss this issue with my kids this way, you know, the way my sister is or whatever. And I knew that these were separating thoughts, and I could feel that they were separating thoughts. But for you to bring it home this morning, Regina, was just so powerful. For you to, you know, to show me the consequences, if you will, the consequences of those separating thoughts was just so, so powerful. And I'm just very, very, very grateful to have been here and to have participated in that. Thank you so much. Love you all.
Yeah, thank you, Jacqueline. And they are consequences. There are consequences that are not consequences. they're consequences at the level of experience. They are not consequences at the level of truth, which is why there is never any guilt. For anyone who still believes in guilt, there is never any guilt for thinking these separation thoughts, these judgment thoughts. But at the same time, there is a reason to do our best to let them go, to do our best to just be, to be present when they arise. So consequences that are not consequences. It's a bit of a paradox, but absolutely true. Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. I have a bit of a cold, so I may sound nasal. I've been up all night working. But I just want to say that I, too, am very grateful for Awakening Together Sanctuary, Regina, Lynn, and Dove, and all of your service, and Regina, and everyone for just being, I guess, for lack of a better term, obedient to your calling, you know. And I'm sure... for being obedient to your calling. And, you know, I'm a 55-year-old African-American woman, and I did have to talk from my experience. And for years and years, you know, I walked around feeling like a victim in terms of being an African-American woman and white, and feeling that, you know, that I was justified in the judgments that I held against white people. And so, but it was always very, of course I was tormented, you know, walking, now I know I was tormented walking around that way and holding those judgments. And to know that now I have a choice, that when I accept, like, your teachings this morning, Regina, that we're one mind, and that I am you and you are me, or however it is, and abiding in that one mind, that's the only thing that truly makes any sense for me now. And it's so much more empowering, and that I can, and I have many white friends, and I can, now I can be with them and not have this double mind, like, okay, well, yeah, you're my friend, but, you know, whatever thoughts I had, you know, I'm just so grateful to have found or been led to Awakening Together. And I just really think that it has caused a shift and a transformation in my thinking. Well, thank you. I'm letting go of the mic.
Thank you very much, Dolores. And of course, I'm well aware of, you know, racism in America. The strongest racial divide is between what we call white and black. There are others. It is by far not the only one. There is also the Gentile and Jewish divide. And then, you know, there's the white and the Native American and the white and the Hispanic and the white, white people. Notice how many times I'm mentioning our name. And the white and the Asian. a lot of divides there. But, you know, they are just setups for judgment. They have nothing to do with the reality of what we are. And to be honest, I am grateful for everyone in this community that is not white Gentile. What is it they call that? WASP, I think. Does anybody, is that the term for the white Gentiles? Yeah, for everybody who's not WASP. And the reason for that is because for some reason this community is primarily white Gentile. And that's still, you know, that's not representative of the way we show up in this world. Our oneness shows up in this world many colors. Our oneness shows up in this world many religious backgrounds, many cultural backgrounds. And I am always excited when more people from other colors and other backgrounds join, because that to me is more representative of our truth. That is how our flowers blossom. Our flowers blossom in this world as many colors, many cultures, you know, many ethnic backgrounds. And in fact, Awakening Together spiritually embraces all of those cultures and all of those ethnic backgrounds, anything that points to truth. So thank you, Dolores, for being here. We actually have 3 African-American women in the ministerial preparation program, 1 in each class. Not in the validation class, but each of the classes that started after that. And I would certainly love to see our diversity grow as a symbol that there is nothing diverse here. Does that make sense? I'd love to see our diversity grow as a symbol that there is nothing diverse here. We are all one and all the same. Yeah. So thank you, Dolores. All right. Whew. My heart is so blown open. It's amazing. I know that some of y'all are feeling the same way. I heard that. So what I'm going to do now is play our closing song. The closing song is the one I mentioned during the teaching. It's by an artist called Sky in the Road, and the name of the song is A Prayer Beyond. And I dictated the prayer to you, so you'll be able to hear it very, very easily in the song. It's just It's a lovely prayer. Like I said, this is one of my very favorite songs right now. So, here we go.
In my small desert village of canvas and foam, where the sun burns your dreams and the stars freeze to stone, came a storm and a song on the teeth of the wind. But as I gazed down the rage, something soft brushed my skin. I am truth beyond reason, I am knowing beyond thought, I am grace beyond effort, I am strength beyond force, I am love beyond all expectation, I am peace beyond time, I am love in motion, I am life divine. Watching soldiers ride out past the dry village well, was it the glint of a sword or a tear? I couldn't tell. In the wind-driven sand, the soldier knelt in the square. He laid down his sword and he whispered his prayer. I am truth beyond reason, I am knowing beyond thought, I am grace beyond effort, I am strength beyond force, I am love beyond all expectation, I am peace beyond time, I am love in motion, I am life divine. My eyes grow weary from the sting of the sand, and it covers men's hearts across many lands. But the soldier still kneels, his prayer never ends. A warrior of love, till a new life begins. I am truth beyond reason, I am knowing beyond thought, I am grace beyond effort, I am strength beyond force, I am love beyond all expectation, I am peace beyond time, I am love in motion, I am life. I am truth beyond reason, I am knowing beyond thought, I am grace beyond effort, I am strength beyond force, I am love beyond all expectation, I am peace beyond time, I am love in motion, I am life divine. I am life divine. I am life divine.
I just love the image of this battle going on all around the soldier, right? Fighting everywhere, and he just kneels and says this prayer and does nothing else. I think we can each be that soldier, right? All right, everyone. Time for me to call technical support. I woke up to another computer problem this morning, so apparently taking this month kind of off was exactly what I was supposed to do. My computers are refusing to allow me to do everything that I normally do. All right, everyone. Great love. Bye-bye.